Hi, it's Tyler from 94.7 WLS Chicago. You're listening to Adam Lepp on WGH Talk Radio.
Adam Lepp!
And welcome once again to the Adam the Computer Guy mid-morning, mid-afternoon, or whatever time of the day suits your fancy radio program of extravagance and fantastulabulousness, and most importantly, interesting guests. How's that for an introduction? We thank you very much for tuning in today. And you can always send me an email, adam@wwgh1071.com. But without further ado, I want to introduce a great guest that we're having today. Maybe you saw the Facebook promo first, and certainly not to be discounted, my brother in broadcasting, mate of the microphone, frequent co-host, Mr. Calvin Williams, who hangs his hat somewhere in his own private Idaho, as the B-52s say. Special guest today is from the Windy City, the largest Midwestern city, that would be Chicago IL. It's a friend of mine who has been in broadcasting for long time, longer than Calvin's been alive. Not quite as long as I've been alive, but that would be really hard. We're going to talk about his radio career, about being a DJ in Chicago, and anything else that suits our fancy. So our guest, his name is Tyler, and he is from WLS-FM 94.7. megahertz on your radio dial.
Yay!
Yes, there he is there clapping. Well, that's always a good thing. First, I want to see how my co-host Calvin is doing, if the intern has properly duct taped all the cords and made sure that everything is going into the proper inputs and outputs. How are you today, Calvin, on this fine December day?
Oh, I can't complain at all. Feels at this point, with my work schedule and everything, it feels like just another day. But I will say we may have to make one correction to my introduction.
Yes, I thought you might have moved to Washington, yes.
Yes, I was going to say I now reside in the city of Colfax, and we could say that it's my not-so-private Washington, because the walls in this apartment are paper thin, and anyone can hear everything.
Well, that's okay. They hear this show, they're definitely going to be in for a treat for the ears, brain, and most importantly, the funny bone. So, are you excited as I am, Calvin, to have a real live major market FM disc jockey sharing the microphone with us today?
Oh, I am beyond thrilled. And given my certifications compared to his, I do have to say the imposter syndrome is very real right now.
Well, that's okay. That just makes it more fun. Well, Calvin, you know, I thought since you've been such a good friend and good co-host, I know you had some questions for Tyler. Go ahead and ask him a couple questions that you had, just things that kind of get the ball rolling so we can learn about the life and times of a major market FM record playing. Well, before we do that, disc jockey. Tyler, I've not given you a chance to talk yet, so you're thinking, Adam's hogging the microphone, talking all about me, but I have yet to utter a sentence. Tell us the kind of music that you play at WLS-FM 94.7 megahertz. How far the station reaches past the Windy City, because it's a pretty big place, and again, the kind of music you play and that kind of stuff.
Well, great. Thanks for having me here, and I thought you were going to talk for 44 minutes, and I was going to get to talk for one.
Yeah, no? I've been called windpipe by some of our listeners at the station, but right. You know, I know when to put that zipper on.
Well, anyway, thanks for having me here on the show. It's great to get out and do some things different and talk about radio for a little bit. Let's see, WLS here in Chicago, legendary call letters. If you're in radio, you know WLS. It's way back to the Sears day, where it was the world's largest store. We have an AM, we have an FM, and it's been, you know, back and forth between music and talk and this format and that format for the AM, and pretty much 80s and alternative for the FM. So, yeah, the FM, it reaches on, we're on top of the Hancock Tower, or whatever you call that thing right over here.
No, known as 875 North Michigan.
Right, okay. So it has a big, big reach south, west, north, and even to the east, but nobody cares because you're a lot of water.
Well, if you're sailing, like Christopher Cross sails, right. So if Christopher Cross is listening while he's sailing.
And I think we have about a 6,700 EPA or wattage, but when you're that high, you don't really need a whole lot of watts, unless you want to blow it out to Des Moines, Iowa, and further. So we cover, you know, the Chicago extended area, and it's been perfect. It's been great.
That sounds pretty fun. So, Calvin, I know you had a couple questions for Tyler, the DJ. Let us know the first question, and let's see how he responds.
Well, first I wanted to say the call letters WLS, I knew it sounded familiar for a reason, besides being such a well-known station. When I lived in Columbus, Ohio, one of my hobbies was DXing AM radio signals at night.
Yep.
And I would scan the AM band up and down. When I picked up a station, I would listen long enough to catch the call sign. And then I actually have a Google map I've made where I plot out the coordinates of the transmitters of all the stations I pick up, and WLS is actually one that I had picked up years ago. But my first question is, what sparked your interest to get into radio? How did you first get into this?
Well, I got to tell you, back in the 80s, back 81, there was a very special radio station that was on in Philadelphia, actually two of them, WCAU-FM, which was Hot Hits, Top 40, the same 20, 30 songs over and over and over and over and over again. Then there was Power 99 in Philly, which was a little bit more ethnic-leaning and would play the big hits of, the urban variety. But they were, like, back-to-back, and even 97.5 WPST. So those three stations, 98 definitely, they had the biggest personalities, the best giveaways, the hottest jingles. And, you know, us in radio, we know when it's good that we kind of like geek out a little bit, and we'll really listen for what's in between the song, the sweepers and the jingles and the fun things. And they had everything on point. Mike Joseph was the consultant, and he was the hot hit father all around the country. Big, huge format, and Top 40 still kind of follows that format a little bit, but they've loosened up a little bit. So anyway, yeah, 98 WCAU-FM and all the DJs on there. In the morning, it was Barsky, who ran through Chicago here a little bit. Glenn Kalina was on in the afternoon. Billy Burke in the Glenn Kalina in the midday. Bob Garrett, later midday. Billy Burke in the afternoon. And Terry Young, the Motor Mouth, which is still on Sirius XM somewhere doing something. He was on at night. And he had probably a 72 share with teens. And I was definitely one of them. And Power 99 was very hip and cool and hot. And, you know, combine them both, and it was like, wow, this is something I want to do when I grow up. Because it was like party nonstop, and everybody was listening to it. And it was just one of those things. It was like the unexplained phenomenon where it just hooks you and you're in. So that's how I got hooked into that one, Calvin.
It is definitely an addicting, but in a good way, business.
Right.
And once you're a radio person, I mean, I was out of radio for a bit, but it never leaves you. You can take the man or woman out of the studio, but you can't take the studio or the microphone or that nature where you talk off the cuff, you're playing music, you're talking about the weather, about the news. You just can't take that away from the person. You know,
right.
And Calvin, I admire you at your age. And we've talked about this. I mean, you come across as older than your actual number of years. But that you've taken an interest in radio and just understand the impact that it has. The part of American culture, that the piece of American culture that radio has and always will.
So yeah, and back to that, Calvin, real fast. You know, us in radio, we're producers, like TV producers with no picture. We have to create the vibe, the sound, the feeling, and just the overall aura of a radio station. And that's what I fell in love with.
So when you get started in the radio, like when you're new to this, is it something where you kind of have to set out and prove that you know what you're doing, or is it more of a matter of knowing somebody already in the business to be able to get into it?
You know, I never went to college or any of that for radio. I had my full-time job kind of in junior year in high school. And what I did was, and I continue to do this today, and I always believe this, that if you want it bad enough, go out and get it. And I did. Me and a friend were in my basement, and we made a sheet when this new radio station, Q102 in Philly, it's still around. Not as good, though. we heard it was coming on. It was blah, 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 blah. And I used to work at Eagle 106, and they let me go because they were getting rid of all the phone operators and producers or whatever. I was only getting minimum wage, but they made a change and got rid of us. And I'm like, I'll get you. So I went and I made a sheet, and I said, Q102 has landed, and the Eagle has fallen on their ass or something like that. And because the Eagle was like, the Eagle has landed, and I said, yeah, the Eagle has crashed or whatever it was. And it made the Philadelphia Inquirer, the news. with a blurb in the entertainment section, and the people of the radio station were like, who did this? We didn't do that. Did we do this? No, we didn't do that. So they had no idea who did that, and I called Elvis Duran the next day, and I'm like, hey, did you see the newspaper? He goes, yeah, what do you mean? The thing about the sheet? Because it was like a big paragraph about it, about the antics and guerrilla marketing radio does, and they're like, we didn't do that. And he goes, well, why did you do that? I'm like, well, Eagle 106 fired me, and I want to get back in radio. He goes, you must come up here tomorrow so we can hire you. So I had my next shot at Q102, and I stayed there for 5 years and then went on and did other things. So when you really have to go out and grab it yourself. You have to just make a splash and make people notice you. It's like, over here, hello, I want to be hired. Let's go. I'm good, and I'll show you. So it was a lot of luck, and it was also me paving my own path, really.
Well, so that's kind of how it went for me, getting into doing shows with Adam. Long story short, it sort of just happened. I've been listening to WGH Talk since it was still an FM station when I lived in Ohio, and after I moved out here back in 2021, I was still listening online. And if memory serves correctly, I was listening to the station, and one of Adam's ads came on, and I messaged him on Facebook with a computer question. We started talking, and a long enough timeline, it led to me getting an invitation to come on and do a show with him, and then it kind of spiraled into me becoming the semi-official co-host of his show, and I love it. I love it.
It's great. See that?
Yeah, people just have different paths into this business, but we all end up in the same place. We love the microphone. We love hearing ourselves, at least I do, and we enjoy improving how we sound, what we say. There's so much is the delivery. I think anybody can sound good on the radio with the right presentation, the right material. And being friends with Tyler has helped my show. I've learned about delivery, about breathing, about how you project on the air, as it is an art. It's not something you really can teach. Just have to hear it. Have some of that natural ability also. So, this comes up a lot when we schmooze. Tyler, is the format on your station, mm-hmm. and of course, radio has evolved. And what was a current hit in the 1980s is now an oldie.
Right.
And a lot. Well,
we don't say oldies; we say classic hits.
Yeah. So, is the word oldies, is that kind of a deprecated term? Is it kind of have a connotation that the listeners are?
It kind of just means old, and you know, people. You know, back in the day when I was growing up, we were all kind of the same area. Back in the 80s or 70s, you know, old people were 25 and 30, right? Now it's
my goodness, Calvin, you're almost there.
Right, but I mean, you know, they were listening to Barbara Streisand and you know, easy listening music, and it's like that all just went poof. And I really think the crux of that began in 2000 with American Idol. You know, mothers and daughters got together at night and watched American Idol every week, and it was like, wow, you know, instead of being so distant musically, they've kind of mushed together, and now the mothers that are, you know, maybe 45 or 50, they're like, I like Kelly Clarkson, I like Whitney Houston, I like upbeat, I want to feel good. I don't want to be like, and here's Beethoven, or, you know, or Michael Bolton. Who cares? That's so old. You know, so a lot of people, if you listen to classic hit stations now or oldie stations, they're very upbeat and they do very well. The stations that are not upbeat, that play, you know, they do well. There's some out there called The Breeze for other companies, and, you know, for a while they'll do well, but then it kind of like dies off. But nowadays, like back to the thing, I think older and younger people are almost on the same page when it comes to music. Because people in their 50s, they like hip-hop, they like dance. Back in the day, people were like, oh no, in our 50s, we can't even do anything. So it definitely, I think, changed around the 90s and 2000s. The older people are like, let's go party. So that's the vibe that is now.
Well, so when it comes to the term oldies, classic hits, one thing that's always kind of been a crazy perspective for me, I have in my truck, I have SiriusXM satellite radio,
right.
And one of my favorite stations is Channel 47 Fly, which plays older like hip hop and rap music.
Yep.
They call it throwbacks.
Yep.
And one thing that's always kind of been crazy to me is I'm only 24 years old, and they're playing music that I was listening to back in middle school.
Yep.
That, well, by the standard of hip hop and rap, is considered, I guess, the equivalent of oldies of that genre.
Right. Yeah, you know, there's throwback stations in a lot of cities around the country. Many of them are not doing well. I think on Sirius you get a little more leeway because you don't have to have ratings, so to speak. But terrestrial radio markets, local radio stations have to, you know, they have to have ratings to pull in the money. It's a different kind of business model. So New York, Miami, there's none in Philadelphia that I can think of really throwback hip-hop stations. They're not doing well, even in here in Chicago. You know, they're in the one share or a two share, and, you know, with that throwback stuff that are hits, I think it probably will last about 2 years, and then the kind of shiny penny syndrome, it gets tired and people are bored of it. But, I mean, you know, when you don't have to worry about ratings, you can go a little bit deeper and you can play a little bit more, and probably the longevity of the radio station will last a little bit longer. But in terrestrial radio, throwback, it's cool, but it only gets about a one or a two share in the ratings.
Okay. Well, so one thing about the radio market out my direction, specifically in Lewiston, Idaho, there is no iHeartMedia or any of the big conglomerates like that out here. All of the radio stations in my area are locally owned. They have little studios around town, and it's all local DJs, local people with their own shows. But you go out on a little road trip to a larger metropolitan area such as Spokane, Washington, and then you have the bigger stations like 98.1 Kiss FM, and they actually have a really good hip-hop rap station in Spokane called Hooptown FM, which I like to listen to when I'm in the area. But I do like, personally, that in the smaller towns, it's all local-run radio stations. It feels like the local, non-corporate-owned radio stations have a lot more personality and just feel a lot more genuine to listen to.
Well, I think you're 155% correct. And, you know, I love the big guys and definitely love the small radio owners, because, I mean, they're in the community. They're sitting at the, you know, down the street at the restaurant doing live broadcast in the morning, which is, I think, amazing. And that's what radio is, was, and always should be. That's the connection that people make. And then, you know, some other ones, and I'm not going to name any because if this gets back, not even us on Cumulus, but, you know, some other radio companies, they don't care about local. They just, you know, it's not going to work. And it's not working for a lot of people.
When I first moved out here, there was a radio station in town on AM. It was AM 1350 KRLC, and it was a local classic country station. Mm-hmm. And they had a really good morning show. They had call-in classifieds and all these other neat little programs that they would run locally, and they ended up going off the air a couple years ago because something to do with a zoning issue on the site that their transmitter was located on.
Oh, wow.
But their studio has sat empty for a couple years now and was actually recently used as a training exercise by the fire department. But when they went off the air, I was genuinely saddened because I enjoyed listening to it every morning. Mm-hmm. I actually looked forward to the call-in classifieds and
right.
the morning show that they did.
Well, you know, sorry, Calvin, it's all a business. We all know that, right? And if you're not making money, you're not going to be on the air. Now, I'm not sure if that's what the case was. You said it was a translator thing or a transmitter thing, but, you know, you got to make money. You just got to make money. It's a business. And we can be passionate about our own favorite things, but, you know, you got to put them aside and take that home and listen to those things at home. But if the, you know, if the radio station is not doing a format that's making money, it won't be there.
So what is your thought on celebrities that have their own radio shows. For example, we have a classic rock station in Lewiston called Z Rock, and every Saturday night they play this countdown show that's hosted by Sammy Hagar.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's great. I mean, you know, it probably wouldn't work every day of the week, but a specialty Saturday or Sunday night show is perfect. And people want to hear what Sammy Hagar says. I mean, people grew up with him. They love him. And bring it on.
It's, I think it's only on Saturday nights because it's the radio station that they have on at work.
Right.
Because, in any industrial job or manufacturing job, it's pretty much dictated that you're going to be somewhat forced to listen to classic rock the whole time you're at work.
Right. Yep. That is true.
Or at least he gets to the studio quickly since he doesn't drive 55.
Oh.
We all know that one. Adam Lepp here on WGH Talk, WGH1071.com, on a browser near you, or use the TuneIn app to tune in and just search for WGH Talk. Pleased to present, along with my regular mate of the microphone, brother in broadcasting, Mr. Calvin Williams, who now hangs his hat in Eastern Washington State. I am presenting to you a real live major market FM music playing disc jockey, Tyler, from WLS-FM, 94.7 megahertz.
Well, thank you.
Chicago IL.
I thought you said earlier some big professional was coming in as a guest, and I'm waiting for him to show up.
Yeah, well, I think I'm in heaven. Dick Clark and Casey Kasem are smiling and enjoying my program.
Right.
I think Casey Kasem would enjoy my program because I certainly have borrowed some technique from him. Probably my favorite DJ of all time. Tyler, do you have a favorite, again, living or deceased, a favorite disc jockey? Someone who's an idol or mentor?
Terry Young, who goes by the Motor Mouth, and he's on XM or Sirius or something, doing something somewhere. And he also has his own internet radio station. Also, I believe, let's see, Jeff Wyatt, who was a big radio DJ in Philadelphia and New York and other places in L.A. He was a program director of Power 99. And boy, those two, and Barbara Summers on Power 99, who was deceased. But those three were like, wow, just insane growing up, and I learned a lot from them. And Elvis Duran, too, who hired me, does mornings at Z100 New York. And I have him in my phone. And he texts me every once in a while. and I'm in his book.
Well, that's sort of cool. Yes, you were telling me, and you showed me yesterday, Tyler, that you're actually in his book.
Yep.
What do you think about that, Calvin? Not only is Tyler a disc jockey in the third largest city in the United States of America, but he's even mentioned in a book about the radio business. Why don't you tell us more about that?
Well, that was exactly what I did when I got hired. He put that in his book. His book is about things that happened in his career along the way, and he talked about this young guy in South Philadelphia growing up, and they signed on Q102, and I made such a big splash with them that he put me in the book about the stunt I pulled, about the sheet. So he explains that, and it goes on and on and on. So, you know, he remembered that, and it made a mark in his mind, because, I mean, he's such one of the best creative guys I've ever met, and, you know, it stayed with him, which I'm very happy about.
Cool beans, as they say. So, Tyler, as we were talking about, you have worked in many large cities in the United States. Chicago is the largest.
Yep.
But still a pretty big place, with metro in three states, and largest in the Midwest by far.
Right.
And Boston, New Orleans, Philadelphia, Charlotte.
Yep.
You've never worked in an Ohio station, right?
I have not.
Okay, well, that would be...
They just didn't want to have me.
Well, maybe you're just too good for them. No slight to Weasel Boy or Patrick, who occasionally appear on this station. They were on WNCI in Columbus, another major FM radio station, now owned by iHeartRadio, formerly known as Clear Channel, formerly owned by Nationwide. That's what the NCI stands for, Nationwide Communications Incorporated, or something like that. And WLS, world's largest store, world's loveliest station, whatever else you want to designate it as. How does being a Chicago disc jockey, Tyler, compare to other large cities, Boston, New Orleans? Is this the most exciting job you had, the most exciting opportunity? Do you miss, you know, Boston is a nice competitive market, and Boston isn't huge as a city itself, but the metro area pretty much extends to all of southern New England.
Right.
You know, having lived in Connecticut, it's essentially just a big suburb of Boston.
Right.
And you know, not that Chicago is any slouch in that department, but if people think, you know, it's Boston being on the coast.
Right.
What is the comparison? I mean, I think Midwest here lifestyle's a little slower than on the Northeast coast. And you've worked in the South, Charlotte or New Orleans. How's the comparison? Are you falling in love with Chicago quickly? Or tell us a few thoughts about that. I think Chicago has such charisma. Everybody has an opinion about it.
Right. Well, in my career, I've been doing, you know, I've been on the air in the beginning, and I've been a program director and regional vice president for Top 40 for the company of Odyssey for a couple of years. And so always on the air has been my passion, but also being the program director, creating that other thing about a radio station is also my passion. But back to on air, yeah, I believe that this is the if we're all in radio and we're all telling the truth, we know that when you crack the mic in a big town like this, you kind of like, you pee your pants a little bit in the beginning, or you poop yourself a little bit, and it's fine. Not literally, but almost.
Scott, you can say that on the radio.
So I remember being on in Philadelphia. It was like 12:30 at night. The first song, and all I had to say was Q102, zero commercials next. Literally, I don't know how I said that because I had no breath left in me. My heart was like beating at 300 miles an hour. So, you know, it's a real big rush when you do it your first time. And after that, you're like, okay, I can breathe. I'm not sweating anymore. But, no, being on the air in Chicago compared to everywhere else, you know that 1.1 or higher people are listening, the weekly cume of our radio station, 1.1 or 2 million people. So when you think about it, it kind of gets you, you know, it's like, oh my God. But when you ease in and you do it a couple of times, you're like, okay, I got this. And so it's really fun. It's a big rush. And, you know, not cutting out any, you feel that way anywhere you are in the market, whether it's market 200 or market 2. Your first time on the radio is really, it's bizarre and delightful at the same time.
Yeah, nothing beats that experience.
Right. I mean, like, almost being, like, shot off into a rocket, you know?
It just is an emotional high. And unless you've done it, I mean, not that I could say I've been on the air in Chicago or Boston, but in assortments of small cities, I know people listen, and it just is like no other business.
Right.
And the mystique that is associated with broadcasting, the fact that you are either hosting a show, doing the news or weather or sports, or spinning tunes, there's just nothing like it. There's no comparison. And I think the diversity of cities, diversity of stations, Tyler, that you have worked in just broadens your horizons. I guess, personally, do you like the music that you play on WLS? Do you miss maybe playing something, some newer stuff or country, or do you think that the classic hits format, as you're playing a lot of 80s and 90s, Phil Collins, Madonna,
right,
Michael Jackson, along with the occasional Lady Gaga song or something a little newer, just to keep it interesting, is that a format that you are really comfortable with? Do you think it is broadening your horizons as a radio professional?
I mean, you know, when you think about formatics and all that, these are the songs I grew up with listening to on WCAU-FM. So it's kind of like a big U-turn. Like, all right, here we go again. Now I'm on the radio playing these songs instead of listening in a car or in my bedroom or, you know, on the street. But the formatics between this station, WLS, with the 80s and classic hits, and a Top 40 station, they're pretty much the same. You have jingles, you have fun sweepers, you have fun DJs, you have great contests. So really, plugging a Top 40 DJ into a classic hit station, it's almost automatic. I mean, I had to listen, you know, do a couple of things differently and, you know, act a little bit more adult instead of, like, stupid. But, yeah, I mean, the formatics, the sound is pretty much the same. If you replace one song and put another one in from today, it would be like, okay. So it's pretty well the same, pretty much.
One thing, Tyler, that you and I talk about probably in half of our conversations is the choice of the music, which is done by your program director. And, you know, as someone who is a music aficionado, as you know, can name many songs from about 73 to 87 in the first two or three beats, but other eras, especially newer music, I'm almost clueless, which I guess is one of the enigmas of my fabulousness and quirkiness that we all love. Anywho, there is certainly a list of a few hundred songs that your station will play regularly.
Right.
In some are in lighter rotation, again, an occasional Lady Gaga song or something else that's newer. How does your program director pick? I mean, I've mentioned some bands, some acts, you know, which ones I'm referring to, that are not played that I think you should. And mm-hmm. we agree there are some songs that are played a lot, but they are really, really good tunes. And I think a lot of the classic hit stations would agree. Take Me Home Tonight by Any Money with Ronnie Spector is played regularly on your station, and it's a great song.
Very regularly.
I mean, Any Money, may he rest in peace, great musician. And Ronnie Spector, of course, mm-hmm. Quite a talent in and of herself, and her very famous father. So, I mean, much as I love that song, we wonder why is it played so much? And again, what are your thoughts on how your program director, because you've been in that business and that
sure.
management role, picks the music, decides, okay, well, Phil Collins, Eddie Money, Michael Jackson, he certainly is the heart and soul of our station, and those people are played regularly.
Right.
Yet another artist may not be played quite as often or not played at all. What is some of the logic behind that?
Well, again, you need to have people that are going to listen to your radio station. The radio station needs to have to make money. It's a business. So there's a thing called music research, and there's a lot of people that like it or don't like it. So the bottom line is we need to find out what songs do the target audience of Chicago want to hear, and we give it to them. And there might be, you know, 250, 300 songs that make that cut. We're in the business of having the most amount of people listen to the radio station for the longest amount of time. That's the only two things that give you ratings. How many people, it's called the cume, and how many people, those people we want to listen long, and that's called time spent listening. Those two things give you ratings, and ratings give you money. And money makes you a very successful radio station. So that's the deal. We said we're going to be a classic hit station with the 80s and 90s and some other little things thrown in. So we look for the best songs. We do a yearly or bi-yearly, bi-annually, whatever, research project. And a big company, they charge a lot of money from it. So if you afford it, and if you don't follow that rule, then you're risking your job and the success of the radio station. So it's very easy, it's laid out for you. Here are the songs you play, and you gotta scatter them around and make them sound like they don't play every hour or every day. And it's a science behind it. And that's my program director's job, is to make it happen, put it all together and play those songs and nothing else.
So there certainly is an art and a science,
sure.
and a lot of logic that goes into every single song.
Yep.
Every song has a reason for being played.
Absolutely.
Of course, nowadays, as we all know, the radio business is evolving. When I was a kid back in the long, long time ago, we had the radio in the car, the radio at home and at work. There was no Sirius XM. There were no internet radio stations. It was all over the air. We now call terrestrial radio.
Right.
And many disc jockeys have gone from working on a terrestrial station to working on an internet station or Sirius or kind of on all three. You have one disc jockey at your station, for example, who is on a Sirius channel, and also he still does
right.
a show at your station.
Right.
So it's okay to diversify. Many have also gone into voice acting, doing commercials, on hold messages, and
sure.
all that good stuff.
Sure.
Has that helped radio? Has Sirius maybe helped you because radio now is more omnipresent, even if it's done in various forms? Or what is the effect? I can imagine, as someone who's been a terrestrial radio veteran, you have your opinions on that.
You know, I think, you know, back when they first blasted off in 2001, and you know the original date that they were supposed to turn on satellite radio, you know what that date was?
I'll make a guess. Is it the major date in 2001?
Yeah.
Okay.
9/11, that day they were supposed to turn on, and they delayed it for a month. So I always remember that. I mean, Sirius Satellite and XM, they do their thing, and we do our thing. I don't know specifically what they're taking away from FM or AM radio. I mean, you know, it's a different model. They don't have to worry about ratings. They do have to worry about how many people are tuning in and how many people they have subscribe. So it's a different radio model, and they can get away with a lot more stuff than we can. You know, they have how many stations on a XM? Is it 200? Something like that. I don't know. So we are controlled by government, and we have I think a total of maybe 7 stations in each market. So it's a different world. They can do a lot more things than we can and get away with a lot more things. But we hold our own. And, you know, as long as we keep doing what people want to hear and make it compelling and make it amazing, we're going to have an audience.
So in many ways, you kind of nurture each other. And that's good. Nothing just beats the experience of tuning into a station, regardless of exactly how you're doing it. And Scott Spears and I have talked about this. Yes, I do miss where all we had was terrestrial radio, that people would just tune us on in the car, at home, you'd hear it in a store. But there are things to be said about other ways to listen, especially the different things that you can do.
Right.
But it all comes down to the same thing. We all love speaking. We love talking about our opinions, hearing other people's opinions. Just using the equipment is a fun thing. And spinning tunes, if that's what you're doing. So
right.
Many things that are done in the radio business. Calvin, we got about 9 minutes left, as my mama always said. Time flies when you're having fun, and this is about as fun as you can get here. Adam Lepp speaking with my usual mate of the microphone, Mr. Calvin Williams, now hanging his hat in the eastern part of the state of Washington, USA, along with a friend of mine, Tyler, a disc jockey at WLSFM 94.7 MHZ in Chicago, IL. So, you have any more questions or comments for our guest today, Calvin?
Actually, yes. So, for legal purposes, this next question is purely theoretical, but for someone that's wanting to figure out their own format, kind of get a feel for how they like to do things on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
What's your opinion on pirate radio?
I think it's kind of cool that people want to try that, but I think there's a lot of money that you have to spend to go put up an antenna and do those other things. I guess it could be done on the cheap too, but the FCC is they're still as strong as ever. They will find you. They have ways of narrowing it down, and I personally would never do it. But, you know, I guess people have fun doing it, and I say, good luck.
Well, because I kind of played around with it for a little while. I had a small transmitter set up that only covered my neighborhood.
Right.
Like a couple surrounding houses, but I had a computer hooked up to a transmitter that ran a playlist off a Winamp that kind of randomly shuffled every couple days.
And sure.
It was kind of a fun little project to do.
Did you have a watt or 2 watts? How many watts did you have?
So I had a 7-watt transmitter,
wow,
which covered about 5 miles when it's fully running.
Mm-hmm.
But I've since added an attenuator, and I've dialed it down to just 0.5 watt, so it only covers my house and the couple surrounding households.
Okay. You'll probably get away with it until somebody complains or something, so you might just get away with it, you know?
Yeah, there's actually, because we're in a semi-rural area, there's actually a couple other pirate radio stations around town that I can pick up when I'm out doing errands and stuff.
Right. I do love the movie, though.
It is a good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, depends how you broadcast and how you listen. That's part of the fun of radio. And I again, think we can nurture each other, be it a satellite station, internet station like ours, or just old-fashioned terrestrial radio. Calvin, do you almost wish maybe that you were alive in the days when people would just go to that AM radio in the car, you know, with those 5 buttons that you press to keep a station in memory and just listen to a station and drive along and see how far you could get it? Or I guess, do you kind of feed off all of our modern technology? And we talked about how you, in many ways, are like someone a bit older than you are. I mean, with the interest in radio, definitely being part of that. Do you almost wish maybe you were around in the time when people would just listen to the AM station in the car and see how long you could get that signal?
Well, considering how often I listen to AM radio present day, I don't think I would have felt too out of place at all. But In regards to current technology, specifically satellite radio, the only reason I have SiriusXM is because the stereo in my truck actually is kind of grandfathered into a lifetime subscription that the previous owner had, and I only really use it as a placeholder when I'm out on road trips and I'm in the middle of nowhere in a dead spot that doesn't even have any terrestrial radio stations. I'll use it as a placeholder just so I have something to listen to until I get to the next town. But that's about where my use of satellite radio ends.
Okay, well, that is a good perspective. Adam here on The Talking Place with Tyler, a disc jockey at WLS-FM 94.7 in Chicago, and of course my usual mate of the microphone, Calvin Williams, in the Pacific Northwest of the United States. And Tyler, here's a question that Scott asks all of his interesting guests, so do feel privileged.
Oh, sure.
Because, you know, Scott has talked to Bill Cosby and Bob Costas and the late Pat Carroll and many other people of interest. Where do you see yourself in, let's say, 5 years or in 10 years?
I see myself still in radio. I'm going to do it till I die, I think, unless I hit the lottery. But, I mean, I see myself either on the air, which I want to keep doing, and also programming, you know, some kind of station format somewhere with some kind of company that values radio.
Well, that's a good answer. Yeah, I mean, radio is something that's in your blood.
Right.
And it's just hard to think of you doing anything else.
Right.
And that's what we like. Someone who doesn't just go into the station because it's a paycheck, because of the prestige, that he or she actually enjoys doing it. And we need more of that. And let's hope that such a pattern of appreciation of the great business of radio.
And I think that, you know, no matter what job you have to have that passion or leave. I mean, I don't think I've worked a day in my life yet because, you know, I've worked in radio, and when you do something you love, you'd never really work.
Yeah, it's fun you get paid for, as I see it. So, as we get ready to wrap up the program, any final questions, Calvin?
I will say, in regards to what you just said, Tyler, I would love to have a job full-time in radio, but one, I guess, philosophy I've always had, I'm always going to have a full-time job of some sort on the side at all times, because I've never really wanted to commercialize on something that I see as a hobby, because I feel like if I did, I would end up growing to resent it.
Right.
That definitely makes plenty of sense. So any final words for us, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I just want to say, you know, thank you, A, number one, for having me and letting us talk about all this stuff, and hopefully it won't be the last time that I pop in, but B, you know, no matter what you know, people listening right now, what your job is or what you want to do in life, I just say go and get it and figure out how to get that job, how to get the boss's attention in a good way. Don't blow down doors, knock on the doors very hard so everybody hears you, and do it in a way that nobody else can do it. Make yourself very unique. And for radio, I just keep saying that I believe that radio has got to not kill the radio star. You know the song, Video Killed the Radio Star? But nowadays, it seems that radio is killing the radio star. So the small, medium, and big, huge companies, I hope that they continue to make radio very important, put it on people's phones, put it in people's ears, and make the product very compelling all the time. Not just, you know, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. or 6 a.m. to noon. It's got to be a 24/7 amazing product coming out of the speakers at all times.
Yeah, we need to appreciate the great business. It's part of American culture.
Right.
And one that I think can only continue to get better as we have other ways to listen, people with unique shows and perspectives, and a little debate isn't bad either.
And, you know, we've got to keep doing more in FM radio, not less, because, you know, there are other places and things you can hear other things on. There's a billion shows and this, that, and the other thing. But as long as we make our product amazing and make the listener as important as they can be, then I think the FM and AM thing will continue to roll.
Definitely very true words. We hope our listeners heed those words. Adam here thanking Calvin, my usual mate of the microphone, and my special guest star here, Tyler, from WLS-FM 94.7 megahertz in Chicago, Illinois, for joining us, talking about the radio business, his career, and anything and everything related thereto. We invite you to send me an email, questions, comments, complaints, suggestions, or even Merry Christmas, that is fine with me, adam@wwgh1071.com. Adam Lapp!